Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
When most people think about energy scarcity, as world oil production declines, lack of soil nutrients probably doesn't come to mind. Soil depletion is a subtle thing, hard for most of us to notice. As regions become more reliant on food produced locally, soil health will become more noticeable and will need different means to maintain it. I suspect Vermont is like most places in industrialized countries now, in that we import massive quantities of nutrients in the form of food, animal feed, and fertilizer. As energy becomes more scarce and expensive, those will become less available to import, and we'll be looking for other sources of nutrients for the soil. One source is right inside of us, human urine. It contains most of the nutrients in the food we eat. It makes excellent fertilizer, and using it in farming keeps it from becoming a water pollutant. I've been using and promoting urine-diverting toilets for years. In fact, I organized the first nationwide exhibition of urine-diverting toilets in Sweden when I lived there in the 1990s. So I was thrilled last week to find an op-ed in the New York Times on February 27th promoting urine diversion. It was called "Yellow is a New Green." If you have the slightest interest in how we're going to feed ourselves when trucks and trains make fewer trips or none at all, check out the op-ed by Rose George. She apparently based the op-ed on research done for her book, The Big Necessity, The Unmentionable World of Human Waste and Why It Matters. I'm adding the book to my reading list. Let's look at how the food cycle can work, taking corn as an example. Corn grows and draws nutrients out of the soil. It also draws carbon and oxygen from the air, and oxygen and hydrogen from water, and makes carbohydrates. A portion of the nutrients leave the farm in the form of the corn kernels. On well-managed farms, the corn stalks go back to the soil. The farmer either plows them back into the ground or maybe makes them into silage for cattle, whose manure is spread on the fields. When we eat the corn, our bodies burn the carbohydrates for energy, and the nitrogen and phosphorus pass out of our system in feces and urine. Most of the nitrogen and phosphorus, the most agriculturally valuable nutrients, ends up in the urine. What happens to it in a typical wastewater system, where it's mixed with all the other wastewater? It's dumped into rivers or lakes or the ocean, and sometimes sewage treatment plants spend a lot of energy to remove some of it. If you keep the urine separate from the feces and add little or no flush water, you end up with a reasonably concentrated fertilizer. The urine can be kept separate through urinals for men or double bowl toilets for both sexes. I have a double bowl toilet in my house. The urine goes into the front bowl, the feces into the back bowl. If you sit down, everything sorts itself out just fine most of the time. What about diseases? Well, it turns out that urine is generally sterile when it leaves the body. I've heard of 3 diseases that can be spread via urine. They're all tropical and not likely to appear where I live, at least. Anything that gets into the urine from the toilet bowl can be killed off with storage. 6 months of storage kills off almost all the microbes in the urine. At my house, I have 2 storage tanks for the urine, so I can let one age while the other is being filled. My plan is to use the older one to irrigate my garden in the summer. I'm hoping to grow great crops with it. At a larger scale, say the Swedish municipality of Tanum, farmers collect the urine from a single tank at people's houses, and the storage takes place in big rubber, well, they're called bladders, on the farm. Urine diversion can cut fertilizer costs, energy use, wastewater treatment costs, and promote local agriculture. It may or may not be appropriate everywhere, but it's a solution for a host of problems. As Rose George points out in her New York Times op-ed, as long as we're squeamish about talking toilets in public, it'll be hard to make sensible changes. I want to do my part to open up the dialogue. So remember, next time you're thinking about buying fertilizer for your farm, garden, or lawn, you don't have to. You're in luck. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check-In.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. Gonna mulch it deep and low, gonna make it fertile ground.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGDR Lincoln.
Please keep them safe below till the rain comes tumbling down.